and I'll still be here when it claws its way back to the light, whether that's a century or a thousand years from now. Do you think I would discard immortality that easily, or confine myself to a ridiculous metal box like some cowering child? Behind her cat's eye mask, her own vertically pupilled eyes flared ecstatically. God, no! I've drunk from that fire, and it's a thirst you never quench. Can you grasp the thrill that it is to walk in the mulch amidst so much strangeness, unprotected, knowing that the machines are still inside me? It's a savage thrill, like fire walking or swimming with sharks. Is that why you play the game as well? Because it's another savage thrill. What do you think? I think you used to be more bored than you remember. That's why you play, isn't it? That's what I gathered from Waverley. By the time the plague hit, you and your friends had exhausted every legal experience society could offer you, every experience that could possibly be staged or simulated, every game or adventure or intellectual challenge. I looked at her, daring her to contradict me. But it was never enough, was it? You were never testing your own mortality, never confronting it. You could leave the system, of course, plenty of danger and excitement and potential glory out there, but if you did that, you'd be leaving behind the support system of your friends, the culture in which you grew up. There's more to it than that, Chantrell said, seemingly willing to volunteer information when she thought I was misjudging her and her kind. Some of us did leave the system, but those that did knew what they were throwing away. They could never be scanned again. Their simulations could never be updated. Eventually they would diverge so far from the living copy that there would be no compatibility. I nodded. So they needed something much closer to home. Something like the game. A way to test themselves, to push themselves to the edge and invoke a little danger, but in a controlled manner. And it was good. When the plague came, and we could do what we chose, we began to remember what it felt like to live. Except that you had to kill to do it. There was not even a flinch. No one who hadn't earned it. She believed it, too. As we continued our flight across the city, I asked more questions, trying to discover how much Chantrell knew about dream fuel. I'd made a vow to Zebra that I'd help her avenge her sister's death, and that meant finding out as much as possible about the substance and its supplier, the mysterious Gideon. Chantrell was clearly a dream fuel user, but it quickly became apparent that she didn't know anything more about the drug than any of the other people I'd spoken to. "Let me get a few things straight in my head," I said. "Was there any mention of dream fuel before the plague?" "No," Chantrell said. "I mean, it's sometimes difficult to remember what it was like before, but I'm sure dream fuel only emerged in the last 7 years." "Then whatever it is might just have some connection with the plague, don't you think?"
"I don't follow."
"Look, whatever dream fuel is, it protects you against the plague, allows you to walk in the mulch with all those machines floating inside you. That suggests to me that there might be an intimate relationship between the two, that fuel recognizes the plague and can neutralize it without harming the host. That can't be accidental." Chantrell shrugged.
"Then someone must have engineered it."
"Which would make it another kind of nanomachinery, wouldn't it?" I shook my head. "Sorry, but I don't believe anyone could have engineered something that useful, not here and now."
"You can't guess at the kind of resources Gideon has."
"No, I can't, but you can tell me what you know about him, and we can work from there."
"Why are you so interested?"
"A promise I made to someone."
"Then I'll have to disappoint you. I don't know anything about Gideon, and I don't know anyone who does. You'd need